This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest today is Lisa C., author of 12 books and the inspiration for an opera based on one of those books on Gold Mountain. Her newest title in her ongoing storytelling of women's friendships is an historical novel, Lady Tan's Circle of Women. Lisa is Zooming with me today from New York City, where she's on book tour. Lisa, welcome back to Book Talk.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's wonderful to be here in spirit anyway.
As your book begins, what's happening in Lady Tan's world in the year 1469?
Well, this is the height of the Ming Dynasty of Confucianism, which really had a lot of control over society, culture, how people lived in their homes. And of course, Confucius didn't have a lot of love and respect for women. He had a lot of great ideas, but not necessarily around women. And so some of his aphorisms include things like, an educated woman is a worthless woman, and a good woman should never take more than 3 steps from her front door. And yet there were women, of course, who defied those expectations and rules.
So how old was Lady Tan when the book opens up?
She's 8 years old. I don't think it gives too much away to say that her mother dies by the end of the first chapter. I don't mean to spoiler. And then she is sent to live with her grandparents in another city. And her grandfather was what was known as a literati doctor, somebody who learned how to be a doctor by reading books. And her grandmother was a hereditary doctor, someone who'd learned from her parents, who'd learned from their parents and so on back in time. And in the evenings, her grandfather liked to listen to her recite poetry as he drank wine. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said something like, this girl is very smart. She should do more than just learn embroidery and recite poetry. She should learn my medicine. But in fact, it was really her grandmother who taught her how to be a doctor.
How did you discover Lady Tan?
Well, it was that first year of the pandemic, and I was, like everybody else, just home alone. Well, home alone with my husband 24 hours a day. And I really felt at loose ends. You know, I thought I knew what the next book was going to be. I'd been quietly doing research. I was just at loose ends in my house, and it wasn't until October. And I was just walking by the shelves in my office and where I have all my research books, and the spine of one of those books jumped out at me. I don't know why. It was Reproducing Women, Pregnancy and Childbirth in the Ming Dynasty. And I looked, I'd had that book on my shelf for 10 years and had never opened it. But I thought, well, here we are in the middle of a pandemic. I have nothing else to do. And I sat down right that minute and started to read. And when I got to page 19, there was a mention of Tan Yen Shan, a woman who, you know, as you said, was a doctor. But then in 1511, when she turned 50, an age I really appreciate, she published a book of her cases. And I set the book down. I went to the internet to see what I could find out about her. And it turned out that her book was available not only in Chinese, but also in English. And I had it within 24 hours. And so although usually I think about books for 5, 10, 15, 20 years before I decide this is the one, this was all of 26 hours.
What is foot binding, and why did the Chinese do it for 1,000 years?
So, well, I think the way actually to describe it is how it started. So if you go back about 1,000 years ago, there was a courtesan who was a dancer, and she used to wrap her feet when she danced, and it was said she looked like she had little fox feet. She became hugely popular. And so the other courtesans started binding their feet, with the result that, you know, all these men came to see them, with the result that at home, there were a bunch of wives in these, you know, fine, upstanding families who sort of said the Chinese equivalent of, how am I going to get Harry to come home? And so that's how it made the jump from the courtesan culture into this culture of fine, wealthy, elite women. So, but that doesn't explain why it lasts so long, you know, and the process was so brutal. A little girl would start at age 5 and her mother would bend her toes over her foot, wrap them in these long strips of binding cloth, make that little girl walk back and forth, you know, through the women's chambers every day until her bones, her toe bones broke. Those bones would be pulled down, wrapped tighter, and the little girl continuing to walk on that. I mean, I just, when I think of the pain of that, I have a dislocated bone in my foot. I can't even imagine having all of this. And anyway, the goal was for the toes of the foot to meet the heel of the foot, so that basically all that a woman would walk on was her big toe. The way to visualize an ideal size mound foot is actually to just to look at your own thumb. It's about 1 inch wide and 3 inches long. And of course, you know, there were so many health issues with it. A little girl could die somewhere in the process, you know, from an infection, from gangrene. But the risk lasted throughout a woman's life because she had to take care of her feet, you know, for the rest of her life. And always she was trying to prevent infection.
Why do you write about China?
Well, I grew up in a very large Chinese American family in Los Angeles. And I think when I first started writing, and I think this is very true even today, that it, you know, the people who are listening can't see me. I have red hair and freckles, so you know, I don't look Chinese. But you know, my family, when I was a kid in Los Angeles, I had about 400 relatives, and I lived with my mom. But I spent a lot of time with my father's side of the family, and there were about a dozen people that looked like me. The majority still pulled Chinese, and this little spectrum in between. And so when I looked around me, you know, what I saw were Chinese faces, Chinese culture, Chinese tradition, Chinese language, Chinese food. And in many ways, that's why I write the kinds of books that I do. But there is something else, which was what I was starting to say, which is I think along the way, and certainly in the beginning, I was really trying to explain myself to me. You know, what do I know? What do I not know? Why do we do this in my family? There's so many traditions, you know, that you do, let's just say for a funeral. When you leave a funeral, you're given a piece of candy and a coin. And, you know, I mean, I always knew what that was for, but I think there are things like that where I think to myself, well, why do we do that? And so the candy is to wash away the bitter taste of death. And the coin, the money, is you're supposed to go out and spend it right away to show that life goes on. And so, you know, I think many of us, we have traditions. I mean, I sometimes think of Easter, like, why do we eat jelly beans? You know, how did jelly, and I'm, you know, because they look like little eggs, of course, but, you know, and why eggs? And how does that relate to Easter and its rebirth and spring? But I think most of us are just like, where are my jelly beans? You know, you're not really thinking about the reasons behind or why it's important. And so that's been a really big part of my writing, I think, is just to really understand my place in my family.
Well, thank you. My guest is Lisa C., author of Lady Tan's Circle of Women, published by Scribner. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
You always ask the best questions. You ask things that nobody else asks. And I just so appreciate that. I hope you know how, you know, really, really good you are at what you do. I mean, you've been doing it a long time, but you're just so good and thoughtful in your questions. And I just love that.
Well, thank you.